Now, I'm probably going to talk to you about some things that you've heard before. You know, Peter said in 2 Peter 1:12, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." Yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, our body, to stir you up by reminding you. You know, many times we go to a service and the speaker begins to speak and say, "Oh, we know that." And we don't realize it, but we subconsciously shut down. But in the academic educational world, they say that you have to continually remind students over and over again until it becomes a part of them. Right? So I'm going to remind you again tonight about that your future's in your words. You know, today people they're wanting to have a good future, and you know, they make sure that they get good financial strategies, saving and budgeting and so forth and so on. And then people get regular medical checkups, and they try to eat better and so that they'll have physical well-being. And you know, people try to be in the business world and in the world. You try to be connected with the right people so they can help you to get the right career path for your life. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. In fact, it's all good, and that's why we should be doing that, to prepare for our future, for the days ahead. But don't let us forget that the Bible tells us how we can influence our future through the Word of God. And of course, I'm going to go to Mark 11:23. You already figured that one out. "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to that mountain, 'Be thou removed and cast in the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says." Now, you know, my dad, he taught this. I probably heard him preach more sermons on faith than any of you have. Because I started hearing him when I was the second Sunday after I was born. Yeah. But I have heard him say many, many times, the Lord, he is praying about this verse of scripture, and the Lord said to him, "Listen, you're going to have to emphasize saying more than you do the believing." And your future's actually in the words you speak. You know, words are powerful. They are containers, and they either carry faith, love, hope, joy, peace, or they carry hate, doubt, despair, and on you go. People don't realize it, but words are containers. They're more powerful than we realize. They're more powerful than our education. Words. You know, have you ever realized that you can walk into a room and words, you don't even have to hear what is spoken, but because cross words have been spoken in that room, you can feel it in the atmosphere. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, words create. I mean, it's what the Bible talks about. But and what we got to realize, that not only do they create on the spiritual side, words create on the natural side. And so we need to learn to watch how we talk in the natural. Come on now. You know, now we're going to look at some scripture here. Proverbs 18:21. All of you probably know it even, you know. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Well, let's read that in a little different language. What you say can mean life or death. Those who speak with care will be rewarded. That's the New Century Version. I sort of like how the Message puts it. I mean, it nails it to write down. Words kill and words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. That puts it out there pretty plain, doesn't it? And then as you're looking at Matthew 12:37, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, the Ben Campbell Johnson version of this, or paraphrase, however you want to say it. So what you say symbolizes how it is between you and God. Your words either point toward wholeness or destruction. Now, we can see from reading these scriptures that our words make a definite difference in our outcome. Right? Yeah. You know, like I said a while ago, actually words are carriers of power. They help us to accomplish what we say. You know, any of you ever notice that when you got hooking up electricity, you got two wires and a wall plug? Now, that's, or a light switch. One of them is a hot wire, and one of them is a negative wire. And as long as you hook one on one side and one on the other, everything works good. But if you touch them two wires together, you get they're an arc. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And it's what they call a short circuit. And it'll kick a breaker somewhere. Now, most electricians know to cut off something, but they many times, because they think they know what they're doing, they don't go cut electricity off. I never will forget in the comm center there in Taiwan when I was there, and we were working one night, and we had a problem, and I called the technician. Zionkowski was his name. And I called him. He climbed up on the ladder, and there's a big box up there. Now, they're just not 110 coming into that box. They had 220 coming into that box, maybe 240, I don't know. Anyway, he said, "Oh, this is easy." I said, "Well, you want me to go cut everything?" No, I can do it without you shutting everything down, because you'll have to restart all the machines and everything." And I said, "I don't know about that, because now we have four groups of us. There was 10 people on each group, and three of us worked 8-hour shifts while the other one's on a 72-hour break. And we had an officer and then the sergeant or a chief, because the Navy's in there with us. And so the officer's gone, the sergeant was gone, so I'm in charge of the comm center because I'm the next in command. And so he climbed up there, and he's twiddling around, and his screwdriver slipped. And that metal hit the side of that metal box while it was on that hot screw right there. It knocked him off, and he fell down about 10 feet down and hit the floor on his back. And it welded that screwdriver to the side of that box. Yeah. Now, see, electricity is good if we use it right. Our words are good if we use them right. And if we use them wrong, they can hinder us, just like that electricity did him. Thank God it knocked him backwards off of there, and all he did was get a little bruise or two from hitting the ground, hitting the floor. But, it could have been fatal if things hadn't had I been a little different. You see, words have a way, when they're used properly, to convert the power of God from His Word into realities in our lives. You know, speaking the right word brings God's power into existence in our world. Speaking the wrong words short circuit the power of God, and we have a problem, just like Zion Koski did up there on that ladder with those, because he got the wires mixed up. Speaking the right words, but then crossing them with wrong words has the same effect as touching a hot wire and the other wire together. Any of y'all ever did that, touch them together and see, you know? You can do it on a car battery if you're not careful and messing around there. And you know, if you're touching the positive post and you happen to ground it over against the edge of the car, you know. But see, we need to realize that our words come into manifestation in our lives. Now, in the natural, I played a lot of ball my wife was telling somebody the other day, she said, yeah, he's played ball he played ball till he was almost 65. But I have had a lot of coaches stand in front of me and other people, see yourself catching the ball. See yourself hitting the ball. See, and talk to yourself. Tell yourself, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to, in the track, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to win this race. Say it. I had a coach tell me that one time. You see, actually, they're using the same principles in the natural that we are to use with the Word of God. It's the same principle. You know, speaking the Word releases the power of God in our lives. When we do not speak the right words, then we're actually contradicting our... We're coming across the Word of God with the wrong words, just like the two wires coming together. It causes chaos. And you see it in people's lives all the time. You will see them and they're speaking the right words, and you see them a day or two later and they're speaking the wrong words, and their life is all, and they can't figure out why they're walking in confusion and chaos. Anybody ever seen anybody like that? It's because they're mixing the two words. Now, the enemy will come to you and he will give you words to say. The Word of God will give you words to say. You can't say these words today and the words that come from over here tomorrow and expect anything to happen. Come on now. Anybody with me? Y'all done gone home. You know, some people have never gotten a hold of this. You know, they come up to me and they say, oh, Brother Hagin, agree with me that such and such is going to happen. And so I'll hold our hands and we'll agree together, you know. And I'll see them a couple of days later and they say, well, you know, I don't know whether it's going to happen or not. I'm just hoping it will. Well, right there, they have short-circuited right there. They've just short-circuited right there, because they're saying here one time and here something else, and that's causing a short circuit. And you have to try to get people to quit verbalizing what the enemy brings to their mind and continue to say out of their spirit what the Word of God says. Now, you can say, no weapon formed against me will prosper, and your mind will tell you, well, look what's happening. But you can't verbalize that. You got to keep saying what the Bible says. Keep saying the right words. Amen. Keep saying the right words. Now, going back to Ben Campbell Johnson's version on that verse 23, truly anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder saying, dump yourself in the lake. Now, here's what you need to get. And does not become separated from the statement he makes. That person will actualize his statement. Now, here is the crux of this whole thing. Does not become separated. How do you become separated from the statement that you make? By making a statement opposite of what this statement. I'm believing God. Well, I don't know whether it's going to happen or not. There, anybody see what I'm trying to get across to you? Am I doing all right? I'm trying to get this across. I know what I want to say. I don't know. Sometimes you feel like you're not getting it to the people. If we can get a hold of this truth, that you can't create a world. God can and did. But you can create the world or the atmosphere that you live in. Amen. You know, you can do this if you're in a bad situation and there's a lot of chaos going on. Just under your breath, just start to quote the word of God. And you can watch things change. Just begin to say Jesus. There's power. That's a word. There's power in those words. I've seen it happen before. You see, speaking the word of God releases the power of God. Now, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. For the word of God is living and powerful. New Revised says, indeed, the word of God is living and active. New Century says, God's word is alive and working. New Living says, for the word of God is full of living power. The Amplified, for the word of God that speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. That's a good one. I like that. Now, when you go back in the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, and God said, and there was, right? God said, and there was. God said, let there be light, and there was light. The words created lightness and light and dispelled the darkness. One word or a sentence from God changed everything. Now stay with me. One word or a sentence that you speak that is the word of God changes everything. See, this is God speaking. So when you say it, you're saying what God said. Come on now. You see, when we speak the word of God, the light of the word penetrates the darkness that's around us. The power of the spoken word drives away whatever it is. It drives out, the power of the spoken word will drive out depression and despair. The power of the spoken word will drive away or do away with fear and torment. speaking the proper word of God will move you out of lack and poverty. Speaking the word of God removes sickness and disease. It all comes back to your words. You know, there was enough power in the word of God when he spoke that he created the world out of his words. No substance, his words. Amen. Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Well, praise the God, because he created a lot of things, we can make some things from what he created. We don't have to create them. He created them for us. He created the soil where we can raise fruit and vegetables, you know. So we don't have to create that, but we do have to create our world that we live in. We create our atmosphere by our words. You know, Lynette and I teach sometimes, well, we teach in the school, but we teach in marriage seminars and things. And one of the things that we teach is that communication, that speaking words. And in communication, you can either have aggressive words or assertive words. And you can either create an atmosphere for retaliation, an atmosphere of strife and so forth with aggressive words, or you can create an atmosphere of peace and tranquility with assertive words. You know, anytime you say, well, you, that calls for retaliation. It creates conflict. I mean, I say what I'm talking about. But if you say, listen, I don't seem to quite understand what's going on here. How can I help this situation? Now, you haven't said anything to the other person. You have changed the entire atmosphere of the... That's in the natural. Okay? But now, you see, the enemy is continually coming with the opposite side. And we need to continue to come back at him with the word of God. How many understand what I'm saying to you? Do you see what I'm trying to get across here? Now, the word can create what you need. The power of the word can create what you need. My needs are supplied. You have a need. It says, my God supplies all of my needs. You create and say, all right, you said that you supply all of my needs. Okay, here's a need. And you name it, whatever it is. Speaking the word releases the power of God to go into action. He wants to go into action all the time, but because our words are not the proper positive words of the word of God, they're negative words, therefore the power of God can't go into action. You know, one of the greatest truths that you can get a hold of is by speaking the word of God, a person releases the power of God to bring to pass the promises of God. Speaking the word of God, a person speaking the word of God releases the power of God to bring to pass the promises of God. Now, let's see how that's done. And we go to a scripture that everybody's familiar with. There's nothing I've said tonight that y'all hadn't heard before. I'm just saying it may be a little different. Romans 4, 17 through 21, as it is written, I made you a father of many nations, in the presence of whom he believed God, who gave life to the dead and caused those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. This is God talking to Abraham here. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, or the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced of what he had promised, he was able to perform. Now, this is the writer of the Romans going back over into the Old Testament and quoting what God had said to Abraham. And when he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Now, in that culture, every name had a meaning. And if you'll ever, when you're reading the Old Testament, they always give you the genealogy. Anybody ever notice that? So-and-so, the son of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. Anybody ever notice that? It was important because that they all had meanings. Now, Abraham, the meaning of Abraham was father of many. And he didn't have any. You see, God called those things. He said, he told him, I have made you a father of many nations. Made. Not going to be. You are. I have made you. God calls those things do not exist as though they do. So Abraham acted like God and went around every time he went somewhere and said, my name's Abraham, I'm the father of many. He was saying what God said. See, it all goes back to what I've been saying the whole time. You know, we need to act like God. Say what God said. That's the kind of faith that pleases God. You know, Abraham continually called the promises of God as though it were, even though he wasn't seeing nothing happen. Actually, it was 17 years before the son came. But for 17 years, he went around saying, I'm the father of many. Why? Because God said it. So why can't we go in here and find out what God said about whatever our situation is? See, you need to go find out what God's saying about what the situation you need. If you need healing, then no use quoting scripture about finances. Because that's not what you need. Come on. Amen. He went around continually saying what God said. You know, he maintained a confession of what he believed. You know, Paul said it this way. We believe, therefore we speak. Right? Didn't he? See, sometimes you begin to say what God said. You may not see it happen tomorrow, next day, or the next day, but you keep saying it. You keep saying it. You keep saying it. See, learn to maintain a consistent confession of faith. Even when it doesn't look like it's going to happen, you keep saying it. I learned this living in my dad's house. We said it all the time. And he made sure that all of us, me, my sis, my mom, then my sister cousin that lived with us from the time she was 16 till she got married, he made us hold fast our confession. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast our profession. Our confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. I mean, if we agreed, he would tell us and say, okay, we're going to say that this week in the offering, we're going to get so much money. Now, I don't have time to tell you the whole thing. I preach this sometimes out on the road. I do a whole message on it. But when Dad first went out there, I mean, it was bad for a while until he learned. He had to learn, see. Now, he knew about saying the words for healing. But he didn't know, and he had to learn, and God showed him that he had to do the same thing for finances that he did for healing. And so, I mean, man, we were struggling like crazy. So he said, okay. And back in those days, you're talking about the 50, 51, 52, because he left that church in the middle of my third grade year in 1949. He had the vision in 1950, September 1950, go teach my people faith. And he went out there, he's teaching faith. But he didn't have the revelation about faith for finances. He's teaching faith for healing. And so back in those days, they would pass the offering and then they'd just dump it in your briefcase and never what it was. That's what you got. There wasn't no checks. They just a lot of change, I can tell you that. I remember helping count it. A lot of 50-cent pieces and quarters. But so when he finally got a hold of it, he said, oh, listen, I remember he sat us down at 1124 Wallen. I remember he had driven in, and I mean, he would drive in and be with us for eat a meal and get in the car and drive many hours to preach again. But he got all of us around the table and he said, listen, there's no use us living like this. I found out we've got to say it just like we do our healing. None of us ever had any problem getting healing. I never had trouble getting healed. Call Dad. That's all. My grandma, sometimes she'd be staying with us. And my mom's mom, I'd say, I got sick. I don't want to call. I said, call Dad. All he'll do, he'll say it and I'll be fine. But see, I believed what he had been teaching. I've been hearing it all my life. But I mean, I was about sixth grade when I did that one day. Now, so he said, okay, this week we're going to say how much money. So we set it around the table. And he said, now every week I'll write your mom and she'll tell you no matter where you are at that time of day, you don't have to say it out loud. You can just say it under your breath if you're at school or wherever. If you are where you can, say it out loud. Say, this week in the offering, we're going to get X amount of dollars. Now, it was $150. That was more than most churches ever give. If you got an offering of 75, you're lucky. And so we started saying it. But I'm talking to you about your words. And we would say it. And you know what? Our financial system, it started changing. That's the way then we finally got a house. That's the way I got my bedroom suit. Saying it. In fact, I still have that bedroom suit. It was solid oak. Twin beds that could be stacked or bunked or stacked like this. And a dresser and a mirror. It's in storage over there. Still, in fact, Craig used it till he was in the eighth grade. But I still have it. I can take it over and show it to you. But I got it by saying it because I had a rollaway bed. And I don't know how to tell that whole story. But we finally were able to get the house. And I had a bedroom, but I had that roll. I didn't have nothing in there but that rollaway bed. And I said, Dad, everybody else got bedroom suits. And he said, well, you know how to get it, don't you? So I started saying, telling my friends and everybody, I want to get a bedroom suit. They didn't understand what I was doing, but I did. And I got it. We went up to visit my Uncle Guy in 8th Floral. In fact, some of you that have been here for a long time, remember they used to live in a trailer down there by side of the, anybody here when Uncle Guy in 8th Floral lived down there? And they worked at the cotton mill there in Sherman. We went up there and we was there and we just sitting there talking and she said, hey, Kenneth Lane, listen, Charles and Uncle Guy, when he came back from the Army, his wife had left him when he in World War II, and so he had, after a few years, he married Flora, and she had a son. And so she said, Kenneth Wayne Charles, he joined the Air Force, and there's a bedroom suit in there, twin beds, and a dresser. You can have them if you want them. I said, I'll take them. You never seen a kid so proud of a room in all your life. I'm an eighth grader. And from the time I was in my third grade year till I was in eighth grade, I had half bed will travel. I put it on the porch or in the kitchen, wherever I could find a place to put the bed, because Mama had the bed and my sister and my cousin had the couch, and it wasn't one of these hide beds. It's one of them where you lift it up like that and let it down. You know, anybody know what I'm talking about? These young kids don't know nothing about that, do they? And so I put that, but man, I was proud of that. But I got it by saying. Anybody getting a hold of what I'm saying? See, your words are seeds. And you plant them like a farmer plants seed. Now, does the harvest come up immediately? But he still keeps taking care of that seed. He'd go out there, and my grandpa used to go out there in that field, and he'd make sure the Johnson grass wasn't there, and he'd make sure that the ground was moist enough, and so forth and so on. Well, see, when you make the word, you say the words, and then you keep saying them. It's the same as you taking care of the field. You keep saying it, and you'll get a harvest, right? But you got to say the same thing. You can't change what you say. You got to say the same thing. Man, it's time to quit, isn't it? Okay. You know, my dad used to say this. He'd say, my sermons are like freight train. I can just unhook and go. Now, you know what? Freight trains, they have different cars, and one might have coal in it, another car right behind it, another freight car right behind it might have automobiles in it, another one up behind that might have grain in it. Now, where am I going with this? Well, hey, you may have to get your train together, and okay, then you're saying this is this car, this is your finance, this car is your healing, this car is something else, whatever you need, you know. And so you just keep saying it. Now, Lynette and I, and anybody that's been around us and is with us when we pray over our food, we say certain things. How many of you have ever been with us when we pray? I say it. I keep saying it. Why? Because if I'm going to receive it, I got to say it. Right. Somebody said, well, I don't see nothing happening. I don't either, but I'm not going to quit saying it. Because if I keep saying it, it's got to come to pass. Now, the devil do everything he can to hinder it. You know, Daniel prayed, and when the guy finally got there, the angel finally got there with the answer, he said, I was dispatched the first time you prayed. But I believe it was 22 days later before he got there. But Daniel kept praying, and because Daniel kept praying, it helped him to be able to fight against the principalities and powers and get through with the answer. Hey, you keep saying it because, listen, there are principalities and powers and high places that are trying to keep you from getting God's blessing. So keep saying it. Amen. Keep saying it. Amen. Anybody getting anything out of this? I know most of you have heard this before, but you need to be reminded. Yes. Everybody stand up. Say this with me. My future's in my words. I get to my future by speaking the right words. I'm calling those things which do not exist as though they do. I am maintaining a consistent, conscious confession of faith. I will see what God promised in His Word, come to pass in my life. If you meant it, raise your hands and thank God for it right now. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, I trust you got something out of that message tonight. Listen, if you happen not to know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, well, you can know Him before you leave here tonight. If you happen to be in a position that you know that you're not exactly where you need to be with God and you need to rededicate your life, you can do that too. If you'd like to receive the Holy Spirit, if you'd like somebody to pray with you about anything, a job, healing, it may, whatever. The ladies are here and the men are over here. As we're dismissed, you come down here, they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you come, in Jesus' name. Connection team, go find our first time guests and take them to get that special gift that we put together for them. If you're looking for a church home, what we say, church? Welcome home. Just come on and join us. We have a great time serving God around here unlimited. Amen. Hey, don't forget all the announcements. And for you that have already pre-ordered the Bible, and if you want to buy one, they'll be in the bookstore Sunday morning. So, okay, turn around, shake hands with somebody and say, I'm going to say the right words. How about you? God bless. We'll see you Sunday.